This is I Should Be Writing, number season 17, episode 23.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next.
And my name is Mer Lafferty, and this is I Should Be Writing, which is the podcast and live stream for wannabe fiction writers. You can either catch it live on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or you can subscribe at your where you subscribe to podcasts and look for I Should Be Writing and get it when I put it in the RSS feed. I'm everywhere. But anyway, my brain is getting close to tapioca, and it's an interesting feeling because I've been doing steady work and I'm happy with the book, but I'm starting to get burnt out. I'm pretty mentally spent and only have about as much mental energy to take care of the book right now. So once April gets going, I'll be able to start it back up. The book continues. It's still doing okay. I developed a minor character I fell in love with today, and no, I can't put them in the book anywhere else because I don't want to have to surgically insert somebody entirely new, but it's one of those people that I wonder if I'm going to bring them back if I get to do another book. But I do have good news. This is very exciting. I got an email today from my publisher, my editor at Del Rey, who, if you don't know, I did one of the Minecraft books. I did The Lost Journals. And I just found out that The Lost Journals Minecraft as a series has made it to the New York Times bestseller list for children's series. And so I'm now a New York Times bestselling author. It's baffling, because, you know, you don't expect to hear that after you haven't put a book out for many months, over a year. But, the series itself made the bestseller list, so that's pretty awesome. What's funny is this was work for hire, so I got paid one sum. So I get nothing from this, except I get to say I'm a New York Times bestselling author, which I never thought I'd get to say. So I got that news right around the end of my writing time today, and so that was it's one of those things where good stress is still stress, because I'm like, oh my god, what do I do with this? Ah! And I wanted to tell everybody, and then remembered, well, still gotta work, so I still gotta, you know, brush my hair and prepare for my stream and stuff. If anybody else has any good news, I would like to share it with the stream and with the feed, because I like to celebrate things. But one thing I do celebrate, and if you're new to the podcast, you might find it odd, but whenever somebody tells me that they've received a rejection, a lot of times we say that rejection's bad. And of course it's bad. It's like you said, will you like my story enough to give me money? And they said no. And nobody likes to hear that. The thing that makes it celebratory is working writers get rejected. So if you're working, like Under Pope is sending out all these submissions and you're getting rejected, that's what a working writer does. You're not getting paid yet, but you're taking the steps to get there. And last night I was listening to a podcast and they were interviewing a woman. And of course, I don't have it up yet, but I'm going to look it up right now because I just bought it. I just bought her book on Audible. Professional Troublemaker by Lovia J. Jones. And she has... She's talking a lot about fear and letting fear control you. And it had me thinking, and I started to develop this realization about fear, and I'm trying to articulate it. What I realized was the things that we're afraid of, is stuff that we have no control over. We're afraid of getting rejected. That's because we do all the work to do the stories. And it's in somebody else's hands. So we don't know which way it's going to go. I have experienced both the nobody voted for me. I was nominated, but nobody voted for me. And they voted for me and I won. And this is horrific imposter syndrome. And what happens there is again, it's out of my hands. It's out of my hands whether people vote for me or don't vote for me. And if I thought I was unworthy or I had imposter syndrome, well, it's still out of my hands. And my thinking is that when we don't take chances, it is partly because we want to have this iron control over our lives. And that's impossible. I mean, you do everything you can to drive safely, but if somebody else is not driving safely, then that's an accident that's out of your hands. But you still drive. You got to get places. Or take any transit. It's applicable. And I just had this feeling of, it just felt like a realization that being afraid is being unwilling to put the things that are important to you in other people's hands. Because you don't know whether they're going to do right by you. You don't know if they're going to hurt you. But it's the same for, you know, relationships. Either you don't get your feelings hurt and you have complete control over everything in your life and you're lonely, or you take a chance and pursue somebody, and if they like you back, then you can try to build a relationship with them. Again, putting part of what's important to you in the hands of somebody else. And so I think the key to dealing with fear is to admit that you need to relinquish a little bit of control. And I just thought of this last night, so I'm kind of still kicking it around. But I thought about everything I'm afraid of. And a lot of it has to do with what I have control over and what I don't have control over. I don't know. I'm the kind of person that feels afraid of everything. I am afraid. I get anxiety spikes when my dogs act ill or injured or anything. And it's like, logically, my head is going, they're probably okay. 9 times out of the last 10 times they've done something similar to this, they've been okay. And if they haven't been okay, we took them to the vet and the vet made them okay. And still that anxiety spike comes up. My animal's health, I can control a good bit of it, but not all of it. And so when it comes to being a working writer, you have to face that fear and put your story in the hands of somebody else. And even if you want to avoid all of that and self-publish, if you buy the book, if somebody buys your book, I mean, then your book is in someone else's hands already, and they might say online what they think about it. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. I got a very sad, it broke my heart a little bit, email from a guy who sent me he basically said, look, I self-published and here's everything I did. And he listed like getting the pro cover and doing this marketing thing and that marketing thing and paying for these ads and doing this and that and this. And why isn't his book a bestseller? And I looked at the book and looked at the description and did the little look inside. And I'm just like, I'm not really sure how to tell him it's just not a good book. I mean, you can go through all of those steps that they say you need to go through to be a bestseller as a self-pub. But if the book's not good, it's still not going to fly. Which is very sad. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe he should have put more work into making the book better before he put all the work into publishing it. I worry that a lot of people go into self-publishing because of fear of traditional publishing. There are a lot of other reasons, and I know that they're legit. My friend Ursula Vernon, who writes under T. Kingfisher, does hybrid publishing because she likes the paycheck every month that comes from self-pub areas, and that helps her get through the months that are not royalty months. And for most people, royalty months are twice a year. So if you're not getting regular advances, which you're probably not, because that would mean you'd be getting a lot of books frequently, and no one can write that fast. You're going to be waiting for those royalty checks. And if your advance hasn't paid out, then you're definitely not going to be getting the royalty check for a while. Did he have beta readers? I don't know. I don't think he told me that part. I don't remember that part. But I do remember what he was complaining about in the email was all the steps that you do once you're done with the book. The marketing, the advertising, the cover, all of that. He was very proud of all the work he had done, and he'd done a lot of work. But the book didn't look good. It just didn't. So, we had a question in the Discord that I think is somewhat like this. Firewriter wants to know how to fake confidence in an idea that changes the intended direction of the book. I have an idea and it's good, but it messes with a lot of the rest of the middle part, and I'm dreading writing it because I'm not 100% sure, are we ever? And it's a lot of heavy lifting to convince my convince my brain to write it. Well, the fascinating thing about confidence is that to the outside world, it's one of the easiest things to lie about. Because you can pretend to be confident, and then you're confident. The outside world will see you as confident. And even if you're afraid inside, the fact that you're confident means that you're doing what confidence allows you to do, so you're already there. It's a very ontological type argument, and this is why I'm not a philosopher, because I'm not very good at saying it out loud, but it, you know, when you think about confidence, confidence is not only how you feel, but it's how you act. And so a lot of people say, I think someone was narrating her own audiobook, and it was the first time she'd done it, and she reached out to Neil Gaiman on Twitter and said, "I am nervous about narrating my own audiobook. Do you have any advice?" He's like, "Yeah, pretend to be an author who's confident narrating her audiobook." And she's like, "Yeah, that works, strangely enough." And that's not technically what you asked, but that's what I wanted to say about confidence. Firewriter, are you done with the book? Or have you reached a middle part and decided you want to go in a different direction? Because that's kind of important. The second. Okay, so you're about halfway through with it, and you suddenly decide you want to go in a different direction. What I would do is I would keep what you have, and I would start writing. If you really believe in that different direction, this is pantsing. This is having an idea as you're writing, and you realize the idea that you're having is better than what you had planned in the first place. And it's how I do my best writing. Because I will not come up with interesting plot points until I'm in the middle of a scene. And it often feels like I'm building wings on the way down, but it's what works for me. Even when I've done really, really detailed outlines, I've still found things while I'm writing that I didn't think of before. I would say just start writing now. Don't go back and change anything, because A, that'll slow you down. And B, you might be wrong. And if you're wrong, you realize, okay, I can go back to where, you know, if you're not using Scrivener, then maybe just put a mark in your document saying, here is where I'm going off in a new direction. And, you know, if you try to keep notes with yourself saying, this thing would change this character earlier, so make sure I go back and do that. But don't go back and do that yet, because that's the editing brain and that's different than the writing brain. But wander off in the new direction. And if you don't have the infrastructure to hold it up, just make notes about what you need to change earlier and keep going. If you're wrong, then cut all that stuff out and keep going in your same direction, your initial direction, I should say, and then you will have just found one way to not make a light bulb, as Thomas Edison said. So I also wanted to do covering a little bit of weird news in publishing. There's a community in New Jersey that's trying to shut down a tiny free library because of zoning issues, which is just, it's like, do you really want a made-for-TV movie and you to be the villain? Because that's just bad. That's just mean. It's like you can't, they're not making any money. They're bringing happiness to the area. But no, it's they're trying to take down tiny libraries and state something something zoning something. It's like, they don't want people to read. I don't know. I really don't know why people would do this kind of thing. I'm looking for the note here. Ah, New Jersey officials are trying to shut down a little free library because of quote-unquote zoning. A shocking tale of bureaucracy making life worse. Worse, excuse me. Yeah, so officials in Oradell, New Jersey are demanding that a local woman take down the little free library she erected in her front yard. So yeah, it's... people, I don't know. Again, my name is Mer Lafferty, and this is I Should Be Writing. Email is mightymer@gmail.com. The website is merverse.com, where you can find out more about my books, the magazine that I co-edit, Escape Pod, and my other podcast as well. But thank you all for being here, and remember that you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should